Well, good morning once again. If you would, please open with me your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Last Lord's Day, we began to make our way into Mark chapter 4, and so we will continue down that road. We will continue down that path today. Again, last Lord's Day, I preached something of an introduction to the parables and connected it with the idea of the mystery of the kingdom of God. We saw the connection between these two ideas, between the mystery of the kingdom and between parables. The word parable, or parabolo as we have it in Greek, means to throw alongside something else. If we were to break down the etymology of the word, if we were to pull out all of our Greek lexicons, our Greek dictionaries, this is the definition of the word. And so we think of a paralegal. We think of a paralegal, someone who works alongside a lawyer. Or we think of a parachute, which is attached to a skydiver. Our Lord used parables to reveal and conceal the mystery of the kingdom. And interestingly enough, you won't find parables anywhere else in the New Testament except in the Gospels. And this only comes by our Lord's teaching. It is his unique method of teaching according to divine wisdom and power. And so today we come to consider one of our Lord's parables. We come to consider the parable of the sower in Mark 4, 1 through 20. J.C. Ryle says this about the parable of the sower. Of all the parables spoken by our Lord, none is probably so well known as this one. There is none which is so easily understood by all. From the gracious familiarity of the figures which it contains, there is none which is of such universal and perpetual application. What J.C. Ryle is reminding us of this morning is that this parable is a parable that applies to all. That there is no one in the room this morning to whom this parable does not apply spiritually. And so I would call upon you, just as our Lord does in this text, to listen, to pay attention, to have ears to hear what Jesus Christ is saying to you in this text this morning. And the question that we must all ask ourselves as we come to the parable of the sower is, what kind of hearer are we? What kind of hearer are you? This is the question that we must ask ourselves this morning, according to our Lord's parable, according to his teaching here. And so let's turn our attention to the Word of God as we read together Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on land, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but they are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Amen. This is God's holy word. Holy Scripture has much to say to those of us who have been called to preach. We have a high calling. We have a high responsibility before Jesus Christ and before you as his church. And for this calling, for this great and high responsibility, we will, all of us who fulfill this calling, who have this vocation, we will be held accountable on the final day. But you also, today, you also have a great responsibility. And your responsibility is to hear the word of God and to hear it well. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you are a Christian, much of your life on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, should consist of hearing the word of God, of giving your complete and your full attention to hearing the word of Jesus Christ. If you listen to just two 40-minute Lord's Day sermons a week for 1 year, that equals 4,160 minutes of sermon listening. Think with me about doing this for 70 years, not just 1 year, but for 70 years. Apply the same formula to 70 years of sermon listening, and you get 291,200 minutes of sermon listening. So the question for you today is, what are you doing with your listening? Are you truly hearing the word of God? Are you giving your complete, full, and utmost attention to hearing the word of Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel? Are you here to listen to him? Are you here to hear what he has to say to you? This is a lot of time. This is much of our life that is taken up on the Lord's Day with hearing the word of God. And so it should come as no surprise to us that the scripture requires of us in many places that we are to be good hearers of God's word. Listen to just a few Old Testament and one New Testament text that reminds us about our calling, about our responsibility to come and be good hearers of the word. Just before Moses gives the law of God to God's people a second time in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have these words. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully." So Moses calls upon the people of God. He gives them the Ten Commandments. He gives them the Decalogue. And he doesn't just call upon them to hear, but he calls upon them to hear and to learn and to observe carefully. There's a very close and intimate connection between hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. Listen carefully. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2, at the very beginning of Isaiah's prophecy, God is speaking through the prophet, and listen to what God says to his own people and what he is saying to us today. He says, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks." God speaks through the preaching of his holy word. And so the question again for you is, are you listening? Are you really hearing when God speaks? At the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. That is Peter, James, John, and Jesus. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The call from heaven for us as the people of God is to listen. It is to listen to Jesus Christ. And in the parable of the sower, Jesus teaches us that all are called to listen, to truly and spiritually hear the word of God. Listen to what one Puritan wrote about the importance of hearing the word of God. Hearing is the provision made for the soul's eternal well-being. Let me say that once more. Hearing is the provision made for your soul's eternal well-being. Its everlasting welfare on it. If you fail here, your soul will perish without remedy. For salvation comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing. It is an act of eternal consequence. According to our hearing, so shall the state of our souls be to eternity. Have you ever considered that when you come together, when you meet with God's people, when you sit under the preaching of God's holy word on the Lord's Day, that what you are doing, what you are engaging in, is an act that has eternal consequences? This is a serious matter. We as the people of God, and you who are yet to believe in Jesus Christ, who are remaining in your sin, you need to hear the voice of Jesus Christ in his word. And so again, we ask the question, we ask ourselves the question, I ask you the question, what kind of hearer are you? What kind of hearer are you today? Are you seeing and not perceiving, hearing and not understanding? Or are you a good soil hearer for the word of God, growing from the nourishment of God's holy word? Consider with me now in the first place this morning, the sower, the seed, and the soil. In his parabolic teaching, Jesus often references natural things. We made mention of this last Lord's Day. Things that are naturally knowable from creation. And he does so here in our parable, in the parable of the sower. Farming was a normal part of Jewish life in the first century. And so when our Lord makes mention of this parable, he makes mention of something that all men who were hearing him that day could understand, at least in the literal sense of the parable, not necessarily in the spiritual sense of the parable. And so our Lord uses the metaphor of farming. He uses this metaphor, he uses this parable to teach a greater spiritual truth for those that have been given ears to hear by Jesus Christ. And notice what he says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. Listen, look at what he says at the very beginning of this parable. He calls all who are listening to listen. Listen to this, he says. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And so here at the very beginning of our Lord's parable, we ought to make note. We ought to pay attention to what he is saying, because Jesus is attempting to grab our attention. He is attempting to call us to hear him, to hear his voice, to listen to him, to pay attention to what he has to say. This is a command from the Savior. This is an imperative. This is not a suggestion. Jesus is saying to us, listen. Are you listening? What kind of hearer are you? Now, I don't see anyone in the room who does not have two ears today. Even as I scan the room, I could see that everyone in this room appears to have two ears, unless I have missed something. But again, the question is, can you really hear the word of God? You might be able to hear it audibly with your ears, but are you hearing spiritually? Are you hearing the word of God spiritually? Or does the word of God just seem to pass over you on the Lord's Day? As if it goes in one ear and out the other. What kind of hearer are you? Having considered our Lord's command, let's identify now in the text the sower and the seed. Jesus Christ is the sower. He is the ultimate and efficacious sower, and his seed is the word of God. His seed is the word. This is why our Lord came. He tells us this in Mark chapter 1. He came to preach the gospel. He came to advance his own kingdom, to declare himself in his person and in his word. He is the prince of preachers. He is the preacher and teacher par excellence. There has never been a preacher. There has never been a man like Jesus Christ. and he employs other sowers to distribute the seed of his word. Jesus doesn't just have under-shepherds, he has seedsmen. He has those whom he has hired, those who exist for his vocation, who live to serve in his employ, and he sends them out to distribute his word, to take his word to the nations. Even so, Jesus Christ continues to preach. Our Lord Jesus Christ continues to preach. He continues to sow his word even today. He continues to do this work, to do this divine work in the hearts of men, because only he can do it. As Paul writes in Ephesians 2:17, Christ came and preached to you through my ministry. The Apostle Paul says in that verse, and he, referring to Jesus Christ, and he came and preached peace to you. Peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. Peace to you Gentiles and peace to you Jews. Jesus came and did this through my ministry. And so what is the Apostle Paul reminding us of? That when we come to sit under the ministry of God's holy word, when it is faithfully preached, when it is faithfully expounded, Jesus Christ is the one preaching through his ambassador. This is the way that Paul argues. This is the way that he thinks in many places, not only in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, but also in Romans chapter 10, when he tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And there he means for us to understand that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are not just hearing the voice of the preacher, of the one that Jesus Christ sends, but we are hearing the voice of Christ himself. Or as Paul argues in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Lord Jesus makes his appeal. The appeal belongs to him. He makes his appeal through his appointed ambassadors. Jesus Christ continues to preach to you today. Are you listening? Are you hearing the word of God? We recognize, as the Belgic Confession says, that the preaching of the word of God is the word of God. We are to receive the word of God as such. We receive it as authority from God. We believe it as it is received through the preaching of the word. But today in many churches, the pulpit has unfortunately turned away from being a sacred desk to a hip coffee table. It's turned away from being that sacred desk, that Puritan idea that this pulpit is sacred and holy. It is to be considered with great weight and gravity, because when we hear the word of God preached from the pulpit, it is that we are hearing the voice of Christ. But today this is not the case, unfortunately. Maybe you've never thought about this, but there's a reason why this pulpit is central in this room. There's a reason why this pulpit is elevated, why it's not on the floor with you. It's because it is intended to help us understand that Christ is speaking to us through his word. You see, this pulpit is not off to the side somewhere. And that's unfortunately the state of many evangelical churches. Again, it's coffee table preaching. It's sharing and it's suggesting. It's not proclaiming and it's not exhorting. And if it's merely sharing and suggesting, that's not biblical preaching. That's not the proclamation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so I wonder, do you view the preaching of the word of God as hearing the voice of Christ? Do you view the preaching of the word of God in this way? Do you take it with that kind of seriousness? Do you prepare for it as if you are preparing to hear from Jesus Christ himself? Do you view this time preaching as sacred and holy? You see, you must view the preaching of the word of God in this way if the soil of your heart will be prepared to receive the word of God as it is. It is not merely the word of men, but it is the word of God. And so your responsibility as a result of this is to hear the word of God and to hear it well. To hear it well, to prepare yourself, to anticipate hearing the word of God, and to even meditate on and contemplate the word of God after it has been preached. Again, we consider one of the Puritans. Listen to what Thomas Watson writes. When we come to the word preached, we come to a matter of highest importance. Therefore, we should stir up ourselves and hear with the greatest devotion. Are you here to hear with the greatest devotion? And so again, I ask you, what kind of hearer are you? What kind of hearer are you? Are you really and spiritually listening to the word of God? Because this is what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to listen to him. And so let's consider these four types of hearers that our Lord gives to us. Let's consider now in the second place these four types. We'll consider the first three hearers under this point and the last under point number three this morning. Here in verses 3 through 8, Jesus identifies four different kinds of soil in which his seed, the seed of the Word of God, is planted. As he reveals in verses 13 through 20, again, this relates to how one receives or hears the Word of God. And for you who have not come to faith in Christ, for you who have yet to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a warning to you. This is a kind and gracious and merciful warning to you. That if you should find yourself, if you should identify with one of these first three hearers, you must turn away from your sin and you must believe in Jesus Christ. Likewise, this parable is meant to be an encouragement to you who have believed. It's meant to be an encouragement to you. It's meant to be an exhortation to you. That if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are hearing well, continue on down that path. Continue to hear well. Continue to grow in your discipline of hearing the Word of God, in spiritually preparing yourself and meditating upon the Word of God, in receiving it as you should. And if you are a Christian and you are not hearing the Word of God well, this is also for you. Let this parable be an exhortation to you. Let it be a rebuke to your heart that you need to improve in the discipline of hearing the Word of God. So let's consider these things together. Let's look in the first place at hearer number one. Hearer number one is the roadside hearer. We can label this here the roadside hearer. And we see this here spoken of in verses 3 and 4 in the parable, and then verse 15 in the translation or the application of the parable. And so let's look once again at our text. Let's look at verses 3 and 4 and then at verse 15. Jesus again says, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came up and ate it." And now, verse 15, see the application or the translation of this. "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." When seed is dropped on this soil, the birds come and they take it away immediately. It does not even penetrate below the surface. It does not get below that top level of soil. And you know something about this, don't you, just by living in Texas? Because there are parts of Texas where the clay is so hard that it's like concrete. If you were to drop seed on it, it would never penetrate the ground. Because that seed would have to be, or that soil would have to be tilled up. It would have to be cultivated. It would have to be worked. It would have to be worked in order for that seed to actually get into the ground and actually, in order for it to actually get into the soil. Well, the hearts of some men are like this when they hear the word of God. Some men receive the word of God like this, insofar as they don't receive the word of God at all. They hear the word of God, but they do not receive it. They do not believe it. The message of the gospel just rolls off their heart like water on a duck's back, as we often say. The roadside hearer immediately rejects the word of God upon receiving it. And so I would ask you today, is your heart hard and unreceptive to the word of God? What is the condition of your heart? Are you like this here? Are you like the roadside hearer, where you show up on the Lord's Day out of routine, out of habit, but you hear the word of God, and yet it rolls off of your back. It goes in one ear and out the other. Are you this kind of hearer? Are you hearing the word of God? Are you really hearing the word of God? Maybe your method of rejection is simply disinterest. Maybe you're just not interested. Maybe it's distraction. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe you're bored by being here with God's people on the Lord's Day. If you have no interest in repentance towards God, you may be that roadside here that our Lord speaks of in the parable. He who has ears to hear, as our Lord says, let him hear. Here number two is the rocky ground here. Here number two is the rocky ground here. And we see this here referenced in verse 5 and in verses 16 and 17. And so let's return to our text. Let's consider verse 5 and then verses 16 and 17. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, and it had no depth of soil. And now verses 16 and 17. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Here, too, is the rocky ground here. As one commentator says, in Israel, during our Lord's Day, a layer of limestone runs through the land. And in some places, it juts to the surface, and only a few inches of topsoil cover it. Sower plants seed on this soil, and the soil immediately receives the seed. This is the person who receives the word of God for a time, who initially receives it with joy, who initially receives this seed. It is planted within them, but it doesn't take root. It never seems to take root. But their fruit bearing does not last because the word of God does not take root through that limestone, through that rocky ground, as our Lord teaches. The sun scorches them and causes their fruit bearing to wither away. The easy believism promoted by constant altar calls, the easy believism promoted by constant altar calls, a quick recitation of the sinner's prayer, and the emotional manipulation of kids' church camps promotes and cultivates this kind of here. We want to teach people in following Jesus Christ to count the cost of following Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to invite. Yes, we want to call to come and to believe. But we can't make it too easy because our Lord teaches us that if you will follow me, there will be hardship, there will be trouble, there will be difficulty. There will be difficulty, but the difficulties and the trials of this life do not exceed the great glory that we will enjoy in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We will be in his presence. We will be with him forever. And so, we teach men to believe in Jesus Christ. We teach them to count the cost. And some, they hear the word of God. They believe it for a time. But this is only the production of spurious conversion, of false profession. Some for a time appear to have the common operations of the Spirit, and yet the word of God has not taken root in them. Such that when the persecutions and afflictions of the world come, these fall away and they prove themselves to not be in the kingdom of God at all. And so I wonder, are you this here? Are you this kind of here? Are you a rocky ground here? Is the soil of your heart shallow and superficial? Have you truly heard the word of God? Have you truly believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe at one point in your life you enthusiastically responded to the word of God, but your commitment to Jesus Christ has failed. It has in some way faded. If this is true of you, you must turn away from your unbelief. You must return again to Jesus Christ. You must truly hear his word and believe in his gospel. If this is true of you, you may be a rocky ground here, and so he who has ears to hear, let him hear the word of God. Here, number three, is said to be the thorny ground here. The thorny ground here. And we see this here mentioned in verse 7 and in verses 18 and 19. And so let's look at our text once again. Verse 7, we pick up there. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And now verses 18 and 19. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So what do we have here in this third here? The sower plants seed on this soil, and it is soon choked out by the thorns of the ground. The seed is unable to bear fruit because of a preoccupation with a number of things that are referenced here in the parable. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and a desire for other things. Are the worries and daily pressures of life choking out the word of God in your life? Are they choking out the word of God? Are the deceitfulness of riches affecting you? Maybe you are more concerned about money. Maybe you are more concerned about hobbies and material things than hearing the word of God. Is this true of you? If so, you have been deceived by riches. You have been deceived by these things. What about a desire for other things? Has your desire for sports and for hobbies taken over your formerly confessed love of Jesus Christ? Have these things taken priority in your life over your commitment to Jesus Christ? Has the word of God been choked out in your heart by these things? If these things are continually true of you, then you may be a thorny ground here. And so again, we come to ask the question, I ask you the question, what kind of hearer are you? Do you fall into any of these categories? Does the preaching of the word of God, again, go in one ear and out the other? Because these first three hearers all have one thing in common, and that is unbelief. That is unbelief. This is the active rejection of Jesus Christ and his word. Are you actively rejecting Jesus Christ and his holy word? You need to consider the eternal consequence of what it means to reject Jesus Christ and his word. Because today you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will be held accountable for that on the final day. You will not be able to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and claim an excuse. You have heard the word of God. And so the question for you today is, do you believe? What kind of hearer are you? Spiritual safety, spiritual peace, reconciliation, and justification are only found in the safe ark of Jesus Christ. And so if you will enjoy salvation, if you will be found innocent, if you will be found as justified on the last day, you must believe in him. You must turn away from your sinful unbelief, from your rebellion against God, and you must believe in Jesus Christ. And so today, if you hear the voice of Christ in the preaching of the word, do not turn your heart away. Do not harden your heart as our fathers have, as our spiritual fathers have in the past, but look to Jesus Christ and believe in him. Receive his word and be born again. The promise of Holy Scripture is this, dear friend, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the promise of God to you. Believe in Jesus Christ. Turn to him today for salvation and be saved. Consider with me now in the third place, fruit-bearing soil. Let's consider this fourth here. And we see this here mentioned in verse 8 and in verse 20. Let's look at verse 8. And then in verse 20, other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Verse 9, and he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And now verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word of God and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. When the sower plants seed on the good soil, it grows up and it increases. It yields crop beyond itself, and it does so continually. This is you, dear Christian. This is you who are beloved in Jesus Christ. The text is speaking about you. As one author says, one of the clearest evidences that a person truly has been born again is a love for the word of God. to love for the Word of God? And how can you, as a Christian, cultivate the soil of your heart to rightly receive, to rightly hear the Word of God, to rightly listen to Jesus Christ in the preaching of His Word? Becoming a fruit-bearing hearer of the Word requires a few things. It requires anticipation. It requires preparation. So what are you doing to prepare and ready yourself for the coming Lord's Day? Are you surprised that Sunday morning arrives every week? Because God gives us a pattern for the Christian life. He says, work six and rest one. And so you must prepare yourself. You must anticipate. You must ready yourself to hear the Word of God. We can do practical things like not stay up too late on Saturday night. Like attempt to prepare our meals for Sunday and do so on Saturday so that we can be ready to hear the Word of God, that we can free ourselves from as many distractions as possible. And so we must anticipate and prepare for the Lord's Day. You cannot hear the Word of God well while you are unprepared. And so prepare your heart for the Lord's Day. Likewise, you must give your attention to the Word of God when it is being preached. When it is being preached. One author says, preaching is not a one-sided venture. It's not a one-sided venture. It's a joint venture between the preacher and the listener. You see, you're not just here as a spectator to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You're here to participate. You are here to listen. You must learn to be an active and engaged listener in the Word of God. Many of you know that I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. In fact, my favorite pitcher of all time is a man named Nolan Ryan. Some of you have probably heard the name Nolan Ryan before. He's the all-time strikeout leader, and he holds about 50 other records, many of which will never be broken. And Nolan Ryan could have never accomplished what he did in baseball without a catcher, because he was a pitcher. He could never have accomplished what he needed to do. He could never have broken all of these records without his catcher. Baseball requires having a pitcher and a catcher. Likewise, preaching requires having a preacher and a listener. It's not a one-sided venture. You must learn to be a present and active and engaged listener. So what are you doing to prepare yourself? What are you doing now to listen to the Word of God? After the preaching of the Word, we must learn to talk about it with our fellow believers. We must learn to contemplate God's holy Word. We must learn to discuss it in our families and even meditate on the Word of God at home. We must cultivate these things as disciplines. We must learn to practice the Word of God, because the true hearing of the Word of God is not just listening to it. It's not just hearing it, but it's accepting it, and it's doing what the Word of God requires. It's super hearing. It's hyper hearing. It is bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Notice with me Mark chapter 3 and verse 35. Notice how chapter 3 concludes. Notice what the Lord Jesus says. Mark chapter 3 and verse 35. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus is assuming that we are really and truly listening to his word, and not just listening to his word, not just hearing his word, but doing his word, doing his will. This is his expectation for those that believe in him, for those that he calls his spiritual brethren, his spiritual family. And so, are you doing the will of God? Are you listening to the word of Jesus Christ? Now, what specific fruit, in keeping with this metaphor, in keeping with this parable, what specific fruit should the Word of God produce in our lives? Well, we can find this fruit in many places, especially in Paul's teaching, like in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul identifies the fruit of the Spirit, which he says is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, the apostle says. These fruits these fruits are agreeable to the gospel that we confess and that we have believed in. And so as you obey the word of God, the Holy Spirit will produce these spiritual fruits in you. And these spiritual fruits, these Christian graces, they need to abound in your life if you have believed in Jesus Christ. They need to be evident and known in your life. As affecting your thoughts, you must strive to grow in the knowledge of the Savior. As affecting your heart, you must work and strive to grow in humility, in spiritual mindedness, in patience, and in charity. As affecting your actions, the fruit of the Spirit should manifest itself in your daily work, in your spiritual conversations, in your commitment to and attention to Lord's Day worship. Yes, there will be seasons of slow growth. We all experience those seasons of slow growth where we're not growing as quickly. We're not bearing as much fruit as we would like. But the good soil here, if you are a good soil here, God will continue to produce fruit in you by the powerful working of His Holy Spirit. And so I would challenge you, dear Christian, to ask yourself today, is there anything preventing you? Is there anything preventing you from growing in your hearing of the Word of God? Is there anything preventing you from bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? What is preventing you from being here on the Lord's Day? What is keeping you from hearing the Word of God as you should, and therefore doing the will of God as you should? Our confidence ultimately is this: that if we are in Christ, the Lord will not allow His word to fall upon our hearts as void. That Jesus Christ will continue the work that He began in us who have believed. That He will continue to bear fruit in our lives as we obey Him and as we seek to give Him glory. And we are ultimately reminded of this, that we who are in Christ, we hear and we do the word of God because the law of God has been kept for us. Jesus Christ has kept the law for us. This is the only reason. He is the only way that we can come to the Father, that we can have everlasting and eternal life, because He is ultimately the one who has kept the law for us, being perfectly obedient to the law of God, even unto death. So we trust in the Savior. We know that He is the vine and we are but the branches. And He promises to continue the work in us that He began in faith. As we conclude today in the parable of the sower, we've learned that Jesus is the sower. He is the ultimate and efficacious sower who preaches and who plants His seed, who plants His word in the hearts of men. And of these four different kinds of hearers, we have the roadside here, we have the rocky ground here, we have the thorny ground here, and we have the good soil here. And so I ask you once more, as we conclude today, what kind of hearer are you? What kind of hearer are you? Can it be said of you that when you hear the word of God, you accept it as the word of God and not merely as the word of men? Can this be said of you? Is this true of you? Only the one who believes in Christ and accepts His word in this way will enter the kingdom of heaven and have eternal life. It is only this one who has believed in Jesus Christ that is able, that has been given the ability of God's free grace and mercy to receive and believe the word of God in this way. God has spoken to us in His word through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He appointed the heir of all things, and through whom He also created the world. And since God has spoken, what is required of those that hear the preached word? Listen to how the Westminster Larger Catechism answers this question. It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer, examine what they hear by the Scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind, as the word of God, meditate and confer of it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. If you've believed in Jesus Christ, this is God's call for you to receive and believe in the word of God in this way. Again, we hear the words of our Lord in conclusion. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. our great and glorious God, how we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that in the preaching of your holy word that you speak to us, that even today you are active in your office, in your work of being a prophet. How we thank you, O God, that you have not left us, that we are reminded even in the preaching of your word, of your promise, that you will never leave us nor forsake us because you continue to speak to us. You continue to abide with us even today as you communicate divine truth to us in the faithful preaching and proclamation of your holy word. And how we pray, O God, that you would cultivate in our hearts the desire to become better hearers of the word of God. Would you help us in this, O Lord? Would you help us in our weakness? Would you help us in our lack of discipline? Would you help us in our commitment? And for those that are here among us today that are considered one of these unbelieving hearers, O Lord, would you cultivate, would you till their hearts for the gospel? Would you help the seed, even that has been dropped today, on the ground of their heart to take root, such that they would believe in Jesus Christ and come to him for salvation? O Lord, would you do all of these things for the glory of your holy name as we pray through our Savior and our Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.